Blog Talk Radio.
Radio special edition 8:30. This your girl Cam, aka Karma, and my big head co-host C, getting on my nerves, Alan.
Hot fudge coming on in. Good Lord. Hot fudge coming on in. Good Lord. What's cracking, Brick House Radio? Y'all know what it is.
It ain't these Starbursts that I requested.
What?
It ain't the Starbursts I requested.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, check your inbox, player.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever.
I don't run errands, nigga. I run Brick House Radio.
No, nigga, you run your mouth on here, and we allow you to keep your teeth while you do it. Or whatever.
I don't run errands, my nigga.
Read your inbox. It ain't about you running an errand, and it's about you delegating, nigga. Come on, walk with me now. Walk with me.
You dumb. Brick House Radio, what's cracking? Your boy in here, C. Allen. Y'all know what it is, man. Got a lot of shit to talk about, mainly niggers. But what's cracking with y'all? New Thursday. Whole lot of new shit done popped up. Finding Neverland. We're going to go ahead and get right into the hot topic of the night. Finding Neverland. Finding Neverland was a documentary directed by Chuck Green. He is a British film maker, documentary maker. Technical difficulties.
Yeah, so I'm still here. You know, he think his show any motherfucking way. But, yeah, Finding Neverland, it is something else. If you have not watched it, I suggest that you take time to watch it so you can take in some information that you may need to relate to your babies in the near future to keep them away from pedophilic predators.
I'm still on the fence about Michael Jackson. I know, Brick House Radio, y'all are probably shocked. This is the thing with me right now. I watched the documentary. On one hand, you can say that the dudes are believable because Michael Jackson's not here to defend himself against it now. One of the things that makes me question the validity of the whole Finding Neverland documentary, the details. The details about what happened. Both men, James Safechuck, Wade Robson, I'm in no way trying to say that they I honestly, in my honest heart of hearts, I'm not finding any validity to their stories. Now, when I say that, I say because since I watched this documentary, Brick House Radio, I've been, like, researching all of this shit like a motherfucker. Like, because I don't want to talk about something that I haven't researched and read and looked at and discussed in other groups and with other groups of people and just, you know, just to make sure that I'm in the right place when it comes to the critical thinking about this whole situation. Now, on the other hand, just playing devil's advocate, they might do some things that could make it look like he was a molester. Absolutely. 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 Walking around in public holding hands with little boys that aren't your children or nieces and nephews. The little faxes, messages that he was sending, that was kind of creepy to me. The fact that he would send little private videos to them was kind of creepy to me. It was almost like he was trying to court them. You know what I mean? That's just how it looked to me. Like, you know, when a dude is in pursuit of a woman, he, you know, he'll send her text messages or he'll send her video chats or, you know, just little messages, and, you know, let you know I'm thinking about you, you're on my mind. Like, that's just weird. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a dad. You know, my son is 11. My son haven't slept in a bed with me and my wife since he was a baby. And when I mean baby, I mean like a year old. Mike didn't think it was anything wrong to share his bed with little kids. Now, I ain't talking about letting them sleep in his bed and he sleeps on the floor or on a couch or something nearby. I'm talking about sleeping in the bed with him. That's weird. That's fucking weird. That's almost creepy. You know, people will say, well, you know, Mike didn't have a childhood and he had to force himself to grow up fast. Okay. Michael Jackson is not the only star who started off as a child star and had to adjust their life, and they couldn't be a kid. He's not the only one who had to go through that. There are other stars that had to go through that same thing as kids. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, just to name some, Corey Haim, Corey Feldman, both of them who say they were never, both who hung out with Michael Jackson as kids, and to this day, who's never said he has done anything to them. Corey Haim, as we all know, Corey Haim passed away, overdose. You know, they say he was real troubled. Corey Feldman, who was his best friend, says, you know, he was real troubled. Corey Feldman did a 2020 episode where he spoke about pedophilia in Hollywood. And, I mean, it was a seriously graphic description of some of the things that go on in Hollywood as far as predators and child predators. But he never said Michael Jackson. You see what I mean? Emmanuel Lewis.
Let me step in real quick.
Macaulay Culkin. All of them. Not, all of them have denied over the years that anything has...
Even people
like,
that were already famous.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is they stepped to Michael and they were already famous. These guys became famous because of Michael. And a lot of Michael's behavior, as you said, was courting. But at the same time, usually if it talk like a creep and it walk like a creep, it's usually a fucking creep. And that's what I'm going to say about it. And I really honestly think, again, as a grown woman, that a grown man would not say those type of things when you really don't have to and have your sexuality publicly questioned because you've had interactions with a man. Most heterosexual dudes don't want no part in anything that seems homosexual.
But this is what I'm saying. If it's true, then they're not gay.
They were molested.
It happened. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is this. This is the thing that's bothering me about this whole Michael Jackson situation. Both of these young men, on more than one occasion, have volunteered to testify on behalf of Michael Jackson. And they did it. They weren't asked to testify.
Out of fear of hurting him, like, okay, it's like kind of like Stockholm Syndrome with those two. I don't know about any of his other victims or if there are any other victims at this point, but even though he was doing what he was doing to them, they still wanted to protect him. Hence the reason why it took so long for them to come forward, because even in his death, they felt like they still had to protect him. It's weird. It's crazy to people that have never been through it, but it is what it is. You know,
I understand all of that. I do. I understand every aspect of what you're saying. I even said it myself. You know what I mean? It's a narrative out there about black men in the media, in the public anyway. And the thing that makes me sit on the fence about it is Michael Jackson's pattern and his actions. That's what makes me sit on the fence about it, is his pattern and his actions, as far as he goes. With me thinking he could be guilty. Now, as far as with me thinking he could be innocent, it's because...
He did.
Not just because he's dead. He's been dead for 10 years, for one. Then, like I said, I find out in 2011, between 2011 and 2013, Wade Robson tried to insert himself into a lot of things going on with the Michael Jackson estate. And when that didn't happen, he wrote a book. Nobody wanted to buy the book because this book was coming from someone who had already repeatedly said in public and on the stand that nothing ever happened with him and Michael Jackson. Now, I'm not here, like I said, I'm not here to say that, I can't say that Michael's completely innocent. The only people that know what really happened is Michael Jackson, is Michael Jackson and those two guys, those two boys.
Wade and Jimmy.
Yeah, and this is the thing. If I do decide either way or another, I'm willing to admit I was wrong. But this is not based on, my view is not based on the media. My view is not based on what's being done on the media. My view is not based on the victims being on TV and doing documentaries and Oprah interviewing them and Michael Jackson's face keep being plastered all over the TV. That's not what I'm feeding into. I'm not feeding into that. The only thing that I'm doing is reading articles and every article that I can think to find when I type his name in to make sure that I'm critically and, I mean, doing the correct critical thinking when it comes to this situation. A lot of people seem to think it's a money grab. Now, before anybody says, well, they didn't get paid to do the documentary, it's not about the money for doing the documentary. It's about the deals that will come after this documentary has aired. You see what I'm saying? Like,
but neither one of them are hurting for money, though.
But this is the thing. Then the article I read from the New York Times said Wade Robson went into a depression in 2013 because he wasn't working and making money. He wasn't making any money.
That's the case. He would have came out then if he was that hard up for cash.
He did. He tried to put out a book.
No, I'm saying he would have did the interview then.
But my thing is this: why not do the interview then? Like, this is the thing.
You had the interview with the guy that directed it. He came to them. They wasn't going looking for shit. It was his idea to go to them two gentlemen and allow them to.
And that's another thing that's got me on the fit. Why a documentary filmmaker from England decided to do a documentary about shit that happened in America with Michael Jackson.
Because he's a world icon.
He's not the only world icon, though. Why not Elvis? Why not Jerry Lee Lewis? Why not Harvey Weinstein?
They really know about Jerry Lee Lewis the way they know about Michael Jackson?
That's true, but this wouldn't now be a good time to educate people on it? Like, this is my thing of it. Now,
it wasn't about bringing anything new to light. It was just about bringing what was in the dark to light.
But that's the thing. None of this stuff that they talked about on the documentary was new information. This was
It was new to anybody that had never heard their story, and it was new to all of us because we never heard the intricate details of what happened from somebody it actually happened to.
I mean, ultimately, at the end of the day, you're going to feel how you're going to feel about this situation. All I'm saying is, I don't know how to feel yet. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. It's cool. It's okay. You're not in trouble. Okay.
I don't know how to feel about it yet. Because, like I said, just like they did a documentary about Michael Jackson, there's been a whole lot of articles done about Wade Robson and James Safechuck, too. And I honestly think if Michael Jackson wanted to smear them, he would have, or he could have. If he really wanted, like, this is the thing, like, Michael Jackson, like you said, is a fucking icon. If he really wanted to, Wade Robson would not have been as successful as he has been, as far as being a choreographer. He wouldn't have been as successful if Michael Jackson really, really put the press on him. I will say, honestly, most people's view on it, and this is what an older dude told me today, Michael Jackson been dead for 10 years. He ain't worried about this dumb shit going on down here. He's like, so I'm not worried about it. I'm not worried about nothing they can say to badmouth him to me. He's not here no more. He's been gone for 10 years. And that's what a lot of older people who grew up with Michael Jackson, you know, with Michael Jackson, around the time he grew up, with the Jackson 5 and doing his thing. You know, these are what these people are thinking, and these are what these people are saying. Paul Mooney went on to Twitter on the 2nd of March and said, you know, don't watch the documentary, just listen to Michael Jackson's music. So it's a lot of people who feel like this is an attempt to smear his name now that he can't defend himself. Because every other time when he was alive and it came up, he was found not guilty. The FBI never found any evidence or anything. So, and I mean, we're talking about the FBI. I think if they really, really, really did what the FBI is supposed to do, then they checked. And they did everything they could to figure it out. Neither of these dudes were given a lie detector test before doing the documentary. Like, this is my thing. If you're going to go over top with it, go over the top with everything.
And they didn't.
If I'm gonna do a documentary about Michael Jackson, just listen to what I'm saying. Just listen to what I'm saying. If I'm gonna do a documentary about somebody as big as Michael Jackson, and I have two people who tell me these details about things that happened, the first thing I'm gonna do is I'm gonna give them a lie detector test. Because I wanna make sure what I'm presenting, I can stand behind my product.
That's you.
You're right.
Everybody's going to do it that way.
You're right. You're absolutely right. But that's why you have, and that's why you have people who think that this is a smear campaign.
Exactly.
Because everything else is so over the top with it. All the advertising for it, all the news reports and interviews and all of this stuff is being done. But nobody's saying, you know what, just to make sure that we weren't jumping into something we didn't want to jump into, we made them take a lie detector. We made them take a lie detector test just to see, just to make sure that we had every T crossed and every I dotted. Now, you know, like I said, you know, Michael Jackson's family, especially one of his nephew really, really thinks that this is an attempt to get money from the Jackson estate. And at the end of the day, I just hope the whole complete truth comes out, and that's either way it go. I just hope the whole complete truth comes out. You know what I mean? I would like to think that Mike didn't do this shit, but I can't say he didn't. That's where I'm at with Michael Jackson. I'm on the wall with Michael Jackson. No pun intended. But that nigga Robert Sylvester Kelly, oh, he did that shit.
He is something else.
He did all that shit. Fight for my life! Fight for my life! They's all lies. Nigga.
You don't shut your goof ass up.
Now, once again, here we have another person who, even if he was innocent, his pattern shows otherwise. This is a dude who married a 16-year-old girl, had a relationship with her.
Knocked her up.
Knocked her up. His own wife said she was dealing with him at 18 years old. Okay, now, People, I saw the clips of it on the documentary. I never actually watched the tape myself, the sex tape. But that was R. Kelly on that fucking, the clip I saw, that was him. And for him to now decide he want to, for him to now decide that he want to stand up and yell and scream and fight and all that, why he wasn't doing that back when all this shit came out? If any time for a nigga be standing up yelling, talking about they trying to take my life, is when their motherfucker got a videotape out.
Thanks.
You see what I'm saying? Now, the young ladies, Joycelyn Savage and Azriel Curry, they're adults now. Whether you feel they brainwashed or not, guess what? We got to think that, like, we got to think that, you know, these girls are of sound mind and body enough to be there, knowing what's happened, knowing what was going on, knowing that they've been dealing with him since they were teenagers. Hey, you know, like, now that they're adults, what are you going to tell them? You let him get 6 or 7 years of conditioning in, if he's conditioning them or if he's brainwashing them, you gave the nigga 7 years. You might as well let, they're gone, folk.
Right.
Now, the one thing that I feel like should be discussed as much as the accusers and the accused are the people around these situations, namely the parents. I'm going to say this. As far as them two young ladies with the R. Kelly situation, I don't feel bad for their parents at all. Because I sat and watched the Surviving R. Kelly documentary. Okay. And I saw both sets of parents say on more than one occasion they had a feeling that their daughters were having sexual relations with R. Kelly. When they went to their daughters, they were with R. Kelly. And when they left their daughters with R. Kelly. Knowing that this man was a proven, this is not falsified, this is not a slur campaign, he was proven to have an epiphany, I'm sorry, not an epiphany, an affinity for young girls. And you left your daughters with him. I can't be sure that my kids are going to die by being attacked by a lion, but I'm damn sure not going to leave them with one and get a feeling that they might be in danger and then go see them and talk to the lion and be like, all right, well, they good. I'm not going to let my children go with that lion by themselves any damn way. Just in case the lion decides to go lion. I'm not going to send my kids with them. I'm damn sure not going to send my daughters at 16 and 17 with no 40-year-old fucking man. I don't give a fuck how bad they want to sing. I don't, that motherfucker could have wrote, I believe I can fly sitting on a cloud next to Jesus with an angel playing a golden harp and singing the lyrics as he wrote them. No, bitch, my daughter can't come back. I'll be there with her, nigga. These parents, yo,
I'm nervous about letting the kids go next door, nigga.
As mad, right, as mad as they want to be and as hurt and as whatever they feel like they want to be, they created that problem when they left their children with R. Kelly, when they pushed their daughters to meet R. Kelly because they wanted to sing and they felt like he could help them. Sparkle, I don't feel bad for her because she left her niece in that studio with that nigga on more than one occasion. I don't feel bad for her. I don't feel bad for any of the parents involved in the R. Kelly case. The only parent I feel bad for, as far as the Michael Jackson case, is Wade Robson's dad.
And why is that? Because he killed himself over a lie?
I think that man killed himself. I think that man went into a depression because he felt like he would never be a hero to his son again. Honestly. Just listening to him talk.
And to his wife as well. Let's not forget
that. Right. You know what I mean? I think that that's what sent that man into a depression enough for him to take his own life. I think that's what it was. I think that man felt that he could never measure up again. And that shit will break a dad. Because as a dad, you want to be your kid's superhero. Even if you got to be mean to him, you still want to be their superhero. And I honestly think his dad felt like he lost that. But that's the only parent I feel sorry for. I don't feel sorry for the other parents because time... Their kids met Michael Jackson. He also had been amidst rumors of having weird tendencies with kids. Michael Jackson is the greatest entertainer on the face of this earth that we will have ever gotten to know and see and watch and witness greatness. But Mike had a problem. Mike couldn't get out of being a kid. He couldn't get away from it. He couldn't get away from it. And unfortunately, the way he expressed himself was not, that's not condonable. I don't know no parent that would leave their child with a grown adult that they barely know regardless of how famous they are. That would make me even more weary of leaving my child with them. Because the more money certain motherfuckers make, the more twisted they get. The fact that you allowed your child to have a fax machine to receive little notes from Michael Jackson. I'm thinking of you. You're on my mind. I love you all the time. Like, when you go back and look at some of those faxes, like, that shit is creepy. It's creepy. Walking around holding hands with little white boys, that's creepy. And anybody who didn't think that it was, you a fucking idiot. I hold my daughter's hand all the time. I don't hold my son's hand. Unless we giving each other that before he go to bed or before he go to school or when I come home from work. It's a difference when they're toddlers. You got to keep them close. But once they get to a certain age, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, like, certain shit just ain't cool to do. My son ain't never slept in my damn bed with me after the age of 2 or 3 years old. And what I mean that, I don't mean taking a nap, because there's been plenty of times I've been in the bedroom laying down, sleep, taking a nap. He come in there and lay down in the bed to take a nap. That's different. I'm talking about spending the night. My son wouldn't be able to go to nobody's house, no man that live by himself. He don't have no kids. And he not their uncle, godfather, cousin, nothing like that. He's just somebody we like his music. I'm not leaving my kids with you, B. I'm just not. I'm not leaving my kids with you. Why would I leave my kids with you? I don't understand that. But at the end of the day, like, if he's innocent, then a lot of people gonna owe an apology. But we gotta look at, like I said, the pattern, the things he was doing, the things that he was doing in public, and the things that he said in public. Were some things that people just didn't agree with. You can't be mad that you're in your 30s and 40s and you like little boys sleeping in the bed with you. You can't be mad that people don't think that's cool. You can't be mad that people don't think it's not cool to walk around holding your kid's hand or holding a random kid's hand. And I say random kid because it's not your child or a child related to you. He had 3 kids before he died. You never saw him out with his own kids. And when you did, a lot of times he wasn't holding their hands. His daughter, maybe. His sons, when they were little. But once they got around the age that Wade Robson and James Safechuck are saying they were when he was doing what he was doing to them, you didn't see that. Maybe he's a preferential type of dude. He wouldn't do that kind of thing to his kids. It happens like that. But what I'm saying is,
everybody has their picks.
It's a pattern.
It's a preference. I mean, he may not, and that's what I was saying when you was naming all Emmanuel Lewis, Macaulay Culkin. Those are public figures. Wade and Jimmy at those times were just starting out. They weren't established like Emmanuel Lewis was. They wasn't established like Macaulay Culkin was. When they really started hanging. Because, you know, he had Macaulay in his video, the black and white video.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, and then again, you don't know if their parents were the ones that didn't go for the okie doke. No, that my kids can't spend a night at your house. Yeah, y'all can go do this music video, but Macaulay's coming the fuck home.
What I'm saying, yo, like, it's like the parents are almost like, it's like they're getting a pass.
Oh, no, I ain't passing shit.
No, I'm not saying you. I'm just saying that
mother get the utmost respect because she honestly made a mistake and she owned up to her shit. She said, I fucked up when it came to my son. That was my only child, and I fucked up.
I understand that. What I'm saying is, why are they not getting more light shined on them about this shit? Like, it's easy to say, oh, he was so nice and this, that, or whatever, and he finessed me, and come on, man. Like, come on, man. At what point did your parenting kick in and you say, yo, Mike, look, you cool and all that? Because this is what I'm saying. They were letting him sleep in the little boy's room when he was coming to their house. They was letting him sleep in the bed with this little boy.
That's why.
She was letting him
sleep. You're making an argument of why Mike did it. I'm just letting you know that.
You said what?
I said you're just making an argument of why Mike did it. That wasn't your intention.
I'm not making an argument of why he did it.
No, I know you're not doing it intentionally. What I'm saying is what you're displaying right now is reasons why people like myself feel like he did it.
I can understand that, and I said that from the jump. Even if it turns out that he is innocent, the pattern that he showed us, most people would believe he was guilty of it. I said that. What I'm saying is, it's just none of the parents involved in either of the scandals, R. Kelly or Michael Jackson, none of the parents can say they didn't know anything.
Yeah, 'cause nobody said they
were. None of the parents could say they didn't know anything. None of the parents could say they didn't know anything about the rumors or anything about the investigations. None of the parents. None of the parents can say that. Because they knew. And all of them said on there, on Leaving Neverland and on Surviving R. Kelly, all of the parents were clear in saying they, yes, had heard and seen and read the news and heard the rumors, but they didn't believe it themselves. And I would be glad when they come out and admit, yes, I wanted my child to be famous. Fucking right. And I was willing to let them stay with that motherfucker so that they could be famous. But they have to. They should. And I'm saying they should because then it changes the narrative. It changes the narrative. See, they're not going to say it now, not because it's not true. They're not going to say it now because it doesn't fit the narrative that they need in order to absolve themselves of anything wrong that happened. They left their kids in a lion's den.
You saying they doing it to save face?
Not to save face. It's past saving face now. Because here we have grown men who are on TV saying that over 20 years ago or 30 years ago, they was forced to commit sexual acts with a person that their parents had heard may have been doing that kind of thing. Yes, the one mother said, I fucked up. Yeah, she said that. But where did you fuck up at? Did you fuck up now because you're doing a documentary?
No, she fucked up because she left her son in the.
Or did you fuck up because you left your child? With a dude that you had already heard had a fetish for little boys, but you still allowed it. You don't want to be called a facilitator. That's what these parents are worried about. Because, see, that's the thing that a lot of this shit don't. Those are the motherfuckers that get locked up and you don't hear about it. The people that put the shit together. The people that put the dominoes in place so that they can fall the right way. You always hear about the predators, but you never hear about the in-between, the go-tos.
The middleman.
The motherfuckers that put the shit together. And they're even worse than the predator because we know what the predator about. Usually the facilitator, you don't find out what they're about until years later like we're finding out now. With all these people coming out with videos and all these people coming out with information about the shit R. Kelly did. Oh, so you knew he was doing it. Oh, well, but yeah, you show up at court with him because you're a facilitator. You enabled it. You allowed it. Like I said, there's no reason that the manager that falsified that document for R. Kelly and Aaliyah, there's no reason that motherfucker shouldn't have been doing that interview from prison.
Thanks.
No reason. There's no reason Aaliyah's uncle, Barry Hankerson, shouldn't be in fucking prison. Her parents. Well, her parents, maybe, nah.
Yeah,
because
they
said they put their foot down once they found out. But a lot of people are saying they did know. A lot of people are saying R. Kelly's wife knew. Her father. Her father's a well-known DJ in Chicago. Matter of fact, in the Step in the Name of Love video, he's the dude with the white suit on that R. Kelly shouts out. That's Andrea Kelly's father. So, you gotta, like I said, you gotta look at the narrative now. Like, whose narrative are they trying to fit? Like, I don't feel, and don't get me wrong, listen to me, because I don't want nobody to think, I'm not saying, I don't feel sorry for him at all. Because at the end of the day, I'm a grown man. Yes, I like working with kids. I think kids are fucking amazing. Do I need to have one come spend a night at my house and sleep in the bed with me? That's not my child. No. Do I need to feel like I need to pick a random kid and just send them little I love you texts and, oh, you're so special, and I think about you all the time, and I love you with all of my heart. Like, I don't need to do that. I don't have to do that. Do I have to be seen having slumber parties and spending the night and hanging with random 7 or 8 year old kids? No, I don't. And that's the difference. That's the difference. It would be a lot easier for people to defend R. Kelly and Michael Jackson if R. Kelly and Michael Jackson wasn't doing this shit already. That's why people are up in arms about it. Because they keep getting caught up with the same shit. It's nothing different. It's the same thing. And that's what I'm saying about that. Like I said, R. Kelly, Michael Jackson, two of the most talented African-American musicians to ever grace the face of the earth.
Thanks.
But also, two of the most troubled and peculiar individuals that the world will ever have a chance to see or know about. Because they did peculiar shit. Anybody that says what Michael Jackson was doing with them little kids wasn't peculiar, you's a goddamn lie. You trying to convince yourself it wasn't. And anybody who honestly thinks that R. Kelly is being dragged through the mud, or it's a smear campaign, or somebody's trying to destroy him, knowing what you already know about him, based on the information we've seen and what we read and what millions of Americans saw when they bought the tape, the sex tape he did. If you can really sit back and say, maybe.
No, unfortunately, I thought it was just a sex tape when it was brought to my attention. But when I saw it, I was like, this shit's some other shit. I said, these bitches look like little girls. They don't look like no grown-ass women.
Yeah, well.
I hope I don't go to jail, but that was many, many moons ago. Hopefully the statute of limitation has been lifted. But that's why when I was watching Surviving R. Kelly, I could visually remember the scenes that each chick was talking about because I remember seeing it.
And it was terrible. It was terrible. But I had to see for myself, was that really him? Was that really him? Because it didn't say on the cover, it just say R. Kelly sex tape. So it don't say it's a, because, you know, the internet and stuff wasn't really popping like that when the tapes first hit. Not like it is now. And it was a mess. It was a mess. And R. Kelly should be burning in hell somewhere. Because he did that shit.
Look, man.
That shit.
And like I said, R. Kelly, he didn't already put his foot and three of his fingers in the grave. So I have no defense for R. Kelly. There is no defense for R. Kelly.
Probably better have some defense. Like the head that got it. R. Kelly is something else, though. I mean, he basically trying to plead his case through an interview. Like, my nigga, you can't do that. Like, you going to jail.
I don't feel sorry for him, like I said. Because at the end of the day, R. Kelly has shown us what he's about.
And he's done it on more than one occasion. That is the crazy part about it. We keep believing him.
Who keep believing
him? The fans. I'm saying we, the public. I'm not saying me personally, because, you know, I think the nigga guilty. So, but he is definitely something else. He's a piece of work. He's a fucking piece of work.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I don't, you know, even the thing with Bill Cosby, like I said, I mean, at the end of the day, yes, Dr. Huxtable, first American black dad, no stereotype. What?
Cold-blooded.
What? Bill Cosby went around America for years telling black people the way we was raising our kids was wrong.
Little girls, but
I already think, because Bill wasn't even little girls.
Grown ass women. But he was motherfucking drugging their ass.
But this is the thing with Bill Cosby that people aren't paying attention to. Bill Cosby, what he's in jail for, he did that shit. Bill Cosby is not in jail because of the accusation. Bill Cosby is in jail for what he admitted to. That's why he's in jail. He's in jail because he admitted that he did not get the woman's consent. He assumed he had consent because she didn't stop him. In Pennsylvania, it's against the law for a person to give consent under the influence of drugs or alcohol. That's why he's in prison. He's not in prison for trying to buy NBC or Discovery Channel or whatever it was. He's not in prison because of Janice Dickinson's book. He's not in prison because of the women that lied. He's in prison for the one he admitted to. And the only reason that it got brought back up was because anything like that before. When the accusations came back up, the best thing Bill Cosby could have did was shut the fuck up.
Obviously, he didn't take that advice.
Plain and simple. What I'm saying is, Bill Cosby shot himself in the foot. The reason he's locked up, I got to keep repeating it because people don't understand it, is for what he admitted to doing. He's not locked up because of accusations. He's locked up because of what he admitted to doing and then trying to lie about it. R. Kelly's in jail right now because of child support. But all of the accusations, all of this surviving R. Kelly, and all of this shit wouldn't have happened if he wasn't fucking with 14-year-old girls and videotaping himself. They've even said, this nigga has said that he videotaped the girls to prove that the sex was consensual. That's what I'm saying, America. Like, he's talented. I Believe I Can Fly. One of my favorite R. Kelly songs was I Wish. But at the end of the day, can you separate the person from the music? Is it possible? That's the question for the rest of the night. Is it possible to separate the person from the public image? Can you still listen to Thriller?
Nope.
And think Michael Jackson is guilty? He's not talking about doing that kind of shit to little kids. The things that he was doing was behind closed doors. Can you still listen to I Believe I Can Fly? Can you still, he remade Sadie by the Spinners, the song about his mother. Could you listen to that song? Can you listen to 12 Play? Knowing what he did? Can you watch The Cosby Show and watch Dr. Huxtable raising his kids on national TV, knowing that the person who plays Dr. Huxtable is in prison for sexual assault?
It's a mess.
That's what it comes down to.
All in what you're willing to deal with.
That's what it comes down to. Like, I can sit here and tell you all day, Michael Jackson guilty, R. Kelly guilty, Bill Cosby guilty.
I'm not
stopping you from going home and playing a Bad and 12 Play 2 mixtape while you watching
Fat Albert,
right. You know what I mean? Like, perfect example. Ben Roethlisberger ain't hurting for no fans, and he'd have been accused more than twice of taking some coochie. Who else out there? That's out. Charlie Sheen. A lot of people talk about Charlie Sheen having HIV, having unprotected sex with women, knowing he had it, not telling them. You know what I mean? Like, what do we do about that?
Yeah, Charlie Sheen was something else. He was giving that thing out, shorty.
Or do we speak to the narrative that all of this shit that's going on is fucking wrong?
I believe all of it is wrong. I don't support none of this shit.
Do we go into the narrative that Hollywood is sick and twisted?
Well, motherfuckers been saying that.
Can we have that narrative? Can we have the narrative that, honestly, in a way, this whole thing with Michael Jackson, at this point, is a smear campaign? We could argue that. But does that change what happened or didn't happen?
Exactly.
Do you think it would have never came out if there was no such thing as media or social media? Do you think that these dudes would have still confessed and done interviews about it if they didn't have an outlet to? See, that's the narrative we got to look at, is what they're showing us. Like, somebody put up a post today and was like, they're making black men the face of pedophilia and rape. No, they're not. The faces that they put up on TV that's guilty of pedophilia and rape are the motherfuckers they're making the face for. That's black, white, Japanese, whatever the fuck.
Yeah, whoever on the take.
Do I agree that we need to be looking more into the Vatican? I absolutely fucking do. Do I agree we need to be looking more into Catholic priests? I absolutely fucking do.
But even Catholic is trying to reform their rules and regulations because of the mass.
Let's get it straight. The Catholic Church will never, never fix pedophilia in the Catholic Church. You know why? Because they have spent centuries thinking that that type of shit is okay to do. They think it's okay for their priests to fuck little kids. They think that shit is okay. The only time the Catholic Church is seen acting on that shit is when the media got a camera in their face. Do y'all really think that the Vatican, anybody in the Vatican or in the Catholic Church or the Archdiocese is sitting around trying to figure, man, we gotta get rid of these fucking pedophiles? Hell no. No, they not. No, they not. No, they not. Because they think that kind of shit is okay. They come from the religions and the backgrounds and the histories where that kind of shit is okay. It is okay for a grown man to have sex with a little boy or a little girl. It is okay for a grown man or woman to have sex with an animal. It is okay for a grown man or woman to have sex with a cousin or a sibling or a close relative, a bloodline relative. They think that kind of shit is cool. They believe that that's the way that they keep their bloodlines alive, by sleeping with relatives. That's what the shit that they was doing back in them days. You see what I'm saying? To keep their bloodline, they was sleeping with cousins and second cousins and first cousins and all kind of crazy shit. We watched Game of Thrones, one of the best fucking shows on HBO, and one of the main love scenes in there is between a brother and sister. Black people don't promote that culture. We don't promote that culture.
No, we ain't with that, bro.
Caucasians promote that culture. Some of them motherfuckers overseas promote that kind of shit. You see what I'm saying? Right in the Midwest, they promote that kind of shit, but that's the motherfucking Mormons. Out there with three or four wives and two of them be 12, 13 years old. Dave Koresh. David Koresh thought it was okay to fuck little girls. Donald Trump. If you look at some of the pictures of him with his daughter, you can't tell me that something ain't happened. That's not the kind of thing that we promote. Cause Caucasians think that that shit is okay to do, because they've been doing it and seeing it for centuries. They come from it. They come from that kind of trifling, nasty shit.
Well, we know that shit don't happen on purpose in our family, so.
Like, this, and that's the thing of it, but, you know, like, it's that culture. We have to get rid of that culture. We have to get rid of the culture that says it's okay for an adult to have sex with an adolescent. We have to get rid of that culture. We have to get rid of the mind frame that allows a person like Woody Allen to adopt, raise, and then have a sexual relationship with a girl he raised as his daughter.
And still married to her.
And is still married to her. We have to declare that shit sick. We have to. We as a people, we have to. Like, as a black man, I don't have to worry about anything that a Caucasian is doing until they step over here in Wakanda.
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Yeah, you got a lot of background noise there, buddy.
That's not me. Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Boss lady. Boy, she is something else.
But that's what we have to eliminate. We have to eliminate that culture and that mindset. And until we do that, this kind of shit is going to continue to happen.
It's going to be a
because what's happening with these black stars is they're looking at their white counterparts do that shit and they think it's okay because they see the white counterparts get away with that shit. They think that shit is okay to do because they've sat around with some of these white entertainers and they've heard stories about, oh, man, I just give them a quaalude. I have my fingers all in their pussy and I. They sit around and they listen to their white counterparts say, oh, it's nothing wrong with having a kid sleep in the bed with you. It's love. It's okay if it's love.
Okay.
They sitting around listening to their white counterparts talk about, oh, man, I used to fuck teenage girls all the time. When I was,
that shit ain't just.
When I was torn, I was fucking teenage girls by the boatload. We watched Cadillac Records. They talked about Chuck Berry. He was known.
For partaking
in the young teenage white girls. Okay? So, Elvis. Okay, he moved Priscilla Presley in when she was 14. We know that. Has Priscilla Presley ever came out and said she felt like she was mind-fucked by Elvis or she felt like Elvis raped her or sexually assaulted her?
Nope.
So, that dies with him. You see what I'm saying? Jerry Lee Lewis made a movie about him.
Mm.
Married. And was fucking his 13, and she was his cousin. That wasn't just no random chick.
It wasn't the next door neighbor.
That was his cousin.
That's
13-year-old cousin. 13-year-old cousin. Right. They think that kind of shit is okay to do because that's what they have done for centuries. Even now to this day, it's a community somewhere with a bunch of rednecks in it that's all having orgies with people they related to, that's their family. And that shit is okay. They think that's okay. They think they're keeping themselves pure doing that shit. That has been their culture. But the media is trying to make it look like it's a black thing. That is not a black thing.
Wakanda forever.
It's just not. But we need to create, like I said, the mindset, and we need to create the narrative of that shit ain't cool. And we need to put that shit on the spot and on blast whenever it happens. Not just when it's black stars, because I agree. I'm not saying that that's wrong. I agree that it should be across the board when it comes to shit like this. And it's not at all by fucking far. It is not. But you got to remember, we playing with a justice system that wasn't created for us. It wasn't created for us.
No, it was created for us, but it was created to keep us fucked up.
Wasn't created for us. They wasn't thinking about black people when they wrote the Constitution.
No, what I'm saying is the justice system was put in place to keep us in our place. It wasn't
made to benefit, and it wasn't made to be beneficial or prosperous to us.
Oh, yeah, not at all. Not at all. Not at all.
That's what I was saying.
Not at all. When they wrote them rules, they was planning on...
They made it for us, though. They
right.
made it for us.
When they wrote them rules...
Exactly what they want.
And it's when they wrote them rules, they was planning on us being in the position we was in when they wrote them rules.
Right, right.
You see what I'm saying? That's the thing that, you know, we got to look at. When all that shit was written, they didn't think that we would be as far ahead as we would be as far as we are now, as far as black people. They had in their mind we was going to be doing the same shit now that our ancestors was doing then. They had that in their mind, which is why the laws are written the way that they fucking written, which is why they don't go back and change any of them, which is why the 13th Amendment can go back to private slavery at any fucking moment if they decide to change it.
The revolution would not be televised if that fucking happened. I'm going to tell you. All I'm saying is me and my babies ain't picking nobody's fucking cotton. That's it.
What I'm saying is this.
What are you really saying, A?
The justice system is fucked when it comes to African Americans.
Oh, hell yeah.
It is fucked. But you don't go out here and have little kids sleeping over at your house in your bed and shit. You don't be out here having sex with 14-year-olds and videotaping this shit. You don't be out here giving women drugs consensually, but then sticking your fingers all up in them and shit. And then going around and acting like you're a moral person. You got morals. You don't do that kind of shit because the justice system is going to fuck you over. You're already in the public eye. Why do you want the public eye and the public infrared beam on you? That's all I'm saying. But like I'm saying, it started from somewhere. It started from a mindset of, oh, man, I ain't going to get in trouble. Damn, who going to believe I did that shit? I'm motherfucking Jell-O, picture pages, Cosby Show, America's Dad. Ain't nobody going to believe I stick my fingers in random pussy, even if they don't tell me I can. Nobody going to believe that shit. I'm R. Kelly. I wrote I Believe I Can Fly. Ain't nobody going to believe I fuck no 14-year-old girls.
Right.
Nobody gonna believe that shit. They've been doing that shit for years. Mick Jagger did that shit. Was fucking his girl. She was 14, 15 years old. Her parents gave her to him. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They look at, like, that's where they get that example from. You ain't never hear nothing about Marvin Gaye fucking no little 13, 14-year-old girls and having them all in the house and shit, in rooms and shit.
Nah. He was slicking all this shit.
Right, you ain't never hear about Smokey Robinson. You ain't never hear about Smokey Robinson having a little boy sleeping in the bed with him and shit.
Oh, no, Smokey ain't play that shit.
You see what I'm saying? But look at so where did they get the examples from? You see what I mean? That's the thing of it. Like, people keep saying, why they ain't talking about these white stars? They're not going to talk about them because in their mind, it's okay. That's okay.
I want to give a shout out to Gayle King because that motherfucker held her composure.
Well, like she said on the news this morning, because she knew people were going to ask her, weren't you scared? Weren't you scared? She said, no, I never thought I was in danger. And that's one of the things that she made sure she pointed out, because like she said, he's already facing this shit that's going on. I'm not going to add to the narrative and make him now be violent too. He's doing that himself. I don't have to do that to him. See, so Gayle was, she was woke while she did that interview, though. She already knows that, with her saying that means that she knows that black men already get a bad rep when it comes to certain shit in the media. So she made it clear that she never felt like she was in danger. She never felt like he was going to hit her. She said him with him flailing around, she just didn't want him to accidentally hit her. But she never thought that if he did hit her, it would have been intentional.
Right. Oh, no, I'm saying I'm with her. I'm just saying shout her out for even doing an interview, period. You know, it wasn't about whether she was in danger or anything, because I saw the interview as well, so I just was shouting her out for even dealing with this crazy ass. Because that nigga did it. And to see him perform like that, don't nobody perform harder than a guilty motherfucker trying to cover up some shit. That is why Michael made the crazy shit that he did in public to cover up the crazy shit that was going on in Neverland. That's why Bill did college tours talking bad about black people and trying to put us down, trying to make us feel inferior, trying to make us feel oppressed, because he was trying to suppress the shit that was going on in his personal life. And here we are with R. Kelly. You acting out, you doing interviews, which even your PR team and your lawyer should have took a better note of what was going on to not put you on display, at least until after the trial. You just incriminated yourself further. That is more evidence that the prosecution can use against you to put you in jail, and you're facing up to 70 years. That is fucking crazy. So, shout out to you, Ira, because it's definitely going to be a long road for you, buddy. I don't know how bumpy or how smooth it's going to be, but it's definitely going to be a long one. You in for the long haul, nigga. Yeah, so Brick House Radio, just want to let y'all know, man, this shit has been crazy with all these allegations and documentaries and court records and allegations. It's too much. It's too much. But this is the world we live in. We live in a social media world, and motherfuckers can't win against the internet. You can try all you want, but you're not going to win. You're not. Because the internet is undefeated. Check the stats. Check the motherfucking stats. And if there's anyone out there that's listening right now, and you have suspicion that somebody close to you, a child that you are familiar with, whether you are a teacher and you are suspicious whether something has happened with these kids at home, I know that that is not the usual thing anymore, but check on them babies if you can and find out and see what's going on. You know, stop letting these babies have to feel like they can't come to nobody or tell nobody because they won't be believed, or they're going to say that, you know, they're lying, or, you know, they're exaggerating, or, you know, you may be feeling like this kid has a vendetta against an adult. Let that shit go. Let these babies know that you are a safe haven. I don't care if it's a man in the neighborhood. You see a little boy going somewhere where he shouldn't be going, and you know dude might be suspect, nigga, say something. Don't make you a snitch and make you a fucking hero. You may save that little boy from lifetime worth of damage, whether it be physical from being assaulted or mental and emotional from being assaulted. We got to get back to the village, people. It ain't about being nosy. It ain't about being up in people's business. It's about having people around you that can support you and help you to prosper and move forward in life. If people didn't have a village, a lot of these superstars and celebrities wouldn't have nobody. They wouldn't be nobody if they didn't have a village or a supportive home front or support system, support team, whatever you want to call it, foundation, however you want to word it. But everybody needs somebody, and hopefully it's going to be somebody that is positive, because don't nobody want a whole bunch of negativity. Don't nobody want to deal with dumb shit. Don't nobody want to go through that. Everybody want to be able to prosper and do the right thing like Spike Lee. And shout out to him one more time for winning the Oscar. You did it, Spike. You fucking did it with your cool little pigeon-toed, bull-legged ass little blind motherfucker. But, yeah, yo, don't don't turn the other cheek and don't do the blind side. Don't do with the blind eye. You got to see with your 3-point eyes. You got to see. You got to be a clone. You got to be able to see a cyclops. I'm thinking cyclone. But yeah, you got to have that third eye open. You got to be woke. You can't be napping. You can't be snoozing. You can't be, you know, on standby. You got to be woke. Because our babies is getting rear-ended, and I don't mean that in that sense, and I mean it in every sense, if you feel where I'm coming from. They're getting the short end of the stick. How's a baby supposed to focus on school if when he get home, he got to worry about trying to get away from a motherfucker that's trying to do something to them that they find uncomfortable? Because I ain't going to lie, even as an adult, sex can be uncomfortable. So imagine somebody that's not even physically prepared for it, having to go through it. And it's terrible. And it is terrible. And that goes for women, too. Don't think just because, you know, ain't no women got caught. Y'all ain't out here fucking with little kids either, because y'all some sick bitches when y'all get ready. Y'all bitches like to kill y'all kids. Y'all like that shit. Y'all like to kill y'all babies, run them off the cliffs and cars and in the ditches and ravines and shit, or getting them killed and lying and acting like you don't know where they at. And yeah, y'all some sick motherfuckers too. If y'all have any indication that somebody that is mentally unstable is coercing kids to visit them or come in their house or pick them up, you please say something. I ain't going to lie, I'm going to say something. If I think a motherfucker fucked up and I see somebody kid doing something, I'm going to say something. I don't give a fuck. It kill me, but I'm going to go out for the right reason. And that's unfortunately what a lot of y'all do. Y'all want to go out, but y'all go out for the wrong reasons. When it's something positive or something that is worth dying for, then it's worth it. But petty, penny-ante shit is not worth it. Because of what a motherfucker say on social media, that's no reason to go to jail. But if a motherfucker try to kidnap your kid and you catch their ass, bitch, that's a reason. That's a season and a reason. Because I'm going out for mine. No, I'm not a thug anymore. I'm retired. I'm a nini now. So, yeah, but at the same time, those survival and maternal instincts don't go nowhere, honey. They don't go nowhere. My body may not be able to catch up with my mind, but I got one burst of speed, and I hope a motherfucker don't catch that bitch. And Miss Johnny, we have 5 minutes left in the show. I want to thank everybody for listening to Brick House Radio Special Edition tonight. I want to thank my co-host, C. Allen. If you want to find me, you can find me on social media at cam_BYH2O on Instagram, Kamala Karma Allen on Facebook, and at DareLKarmuh on Twitter, and that is The Real Karma. Yanni, take us out with a song, baby. We love y'all. We see y'all next week, and stay woke, motherfuckers.
Yo, Brick House Radio, yo.
Oh, yo what? Oh, now you want to say something.
No, my phone. I had technical difficulties, B. I sent you a message, I text you.
Oh, my phone already died.
Yeah, but. Y'all know where y'all can find me at, yo. You know what I mean? Find me. I'm using my homeboy Mookadine Bigelow page. Mookadine Bigelow. That's on Facebook. You can find me on Instagram at They Call Him C. And you can find me on Twitter at C. Allen. Or you can find me laid up behind some big yellow warm buns. Hot fudge coming on in. Good Lord. Y'all know what it is, though. Love y'all.
Brick House Radio. We hail.
Peace.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But on IG, you running around with other guys. You say that you love me, but you snapping.
nigga. Fuck you, bitch. Fuck you. If she be fucking other niggas, fuck you. If he be fucking other bitches, fuck you. If you don't keep it 100 with her, fuck you, nigga. Fuck you, bitch. Fuck you. When he fucking up, who you run to?
Yeah.
I know it's 3 a.m., but you can come through. These niggas really mad at me. Cause I get straight to the bag, I got a bag. Fuck you, nigga.